You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm Podcast. Today, I've got Kevin Maurice on the show. Kevin, how you doing?
Great, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Thanks so much for agreeing to be on the Deal Farm Podcast. So tell us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate it. So Kevin and I have actually, we've known each other for probably 5 or 6 years. We've been doing deals together, I would say at least since, what, 2007, 2008? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Kevin's actually a wholesaler here in Atlanta and also a real estate investor, but I'll let him tell you a little bit more about himself. Kevin, how did you get started in real estate?
Well, Ken, I started way back in 2001, and I was actually between corporate jobs. And while I was looking for full-time work, I ended up buying a house from the courthouse steps, which is not what how I recommend new investors start. But I bought a house, I fixed it up myself, I flipped it, made a nice profit, and then I bought a second house, did the same thing, flipped it, made a profit, and from that point on, I decided that I was never going back to corporate America.
You were hooked.
So I've been doing it ever since 2001.
And so were you flipping houses while you were still working a corporate job or right after you had gotten out of the corporate world?
Yeah, right after I got out of the corporate world, I was still interviewing. My last corporate gig was as a consultant, and I was looking for additional consulting work and had always had somewhat of an interest in real estate, but that wasn't my background. But I did like houses, looking at houses, things like that. And as I said, once I did a couple of flips, I discovered my true passion in life and have not looked back since.
Wow. So that's been about 14 years. And you got started flipping.
Yes.
And then you, what sort of, have you transitioned, I guess, to more wholesaling? How did that transition take place?
Well, I basically was a rehabber, retail flipper, up until about 2007. And once the market started going down, I started running into problems getting appraisals for my houses. Mm-hmm. And one of the last flips I did, 06, 07, it was a simple rehab, gorgeous home. It should have been worth about 120. I was going to make a nice profit on the deal. And lo and behold, I ran into all sorts of appraisal issues. And I think my profit went from where I expected to make about 30. I made about $5,000 on the deal, and that's when I made the decision that I was going to start focusing on wholesaling, because I'd gotten very good at finding deals.
Mm-hmm.
So it just didn't make sense back in 06, 07 for me to go through all the work and the cash outlay to do a retail flip and make $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. I thought, well, this makes more sense just to wholesale it to an end investor, somebody looking for a buy and hold type of deal. And so that's really when I started focusing on my wholesale business.
I gotcha.
Now, that being said, I still do rehab retail flips today, but not to the extent that I did it early on.
Right.
Now, as I said, my business is primarily as a wholesaler.
Well, and you bring a good point, too, because Atlanta especially saw such a transition in terms of how to acquire properties in the mid-2000s and late-2000s. I'm sure early on you were finding off-market deals, and then when the market crashed, I'm sure you had to adjust to find the deals, and so much was listed on the MLS and HUD Home Store, as you know. How did your business shift when you were looking to find those deals?
Well, of course, when the market crashed, it actually became a lot easier to pick up deals from MLS. And
sure.
I most of my business, you know, from about 2007 till about 2011 was through picking up MLS deals. Once that particular area tightened up, then I had to start doing a lot more direct mail, which is our primary way of getting deals right now. And then I had billboards. I was all over the internet, did the bandit signs, all those sort of off-market ways to acquire deals.
Gotcha. And really, so since that time, you've really focused more on the wholesaling. At least that's what I've known you for, is the wholesaling. I get literally at least 2 emails a day from you. And you send out good deals. You're one of my favorite wholesalers. So every time I get an email from Kevin, I definitely open it up to see what he's got. And Kevin,
yes, thank you.
You can attest to the fact that I bug you a lot about your deals.
Yes, absolutely. You're one of my best buyers.
Well, I appreciate that. You send out good deals. I tell you, there's a lot of garbage out there. There's a lot of wholesalers that pretend to be wholesalers, and they're just marking up other people's junk. I appreciate the fact that you're out there finding your own deals.
I'm a direct wholesaler. I'm not a bird dog. I don't take other people's deals. All the deals that I wholesale, I actually control. And I think that is just so, so important to be a successful wholesaler.
A lot of folks get into wholesaling initially by piggybacking other wholesalers. They go out there and see who's got the deals and then try to build their own buyer's list and mark it up a little bit. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but I can attest to the fact, as an end buyer, I want to be involved with the guy that controls the deal. And Kevin's the kind of guy that does that. So there's too many times you get a deal under contract with somebody and turns out that they don't control the deal and you don't even know if you've got the contract or not.
Yeah, and then they can't deliver the deal and then you end up losing a good potential buyer. So
sure,
it's not the best practice. But as you said, it's not a bad way for someone to start considering or looking at becoming a wholesaler.
And I guess it's a good way for somebody to begin to grow their list, because that's the other half of being a wholesaler, is having people to sell to. And part of that is building your wholesale buyers list.
Absolutely. That is the most critical aspect of being a wholesaler, or being a good wholesaler, is having a strong buyers list. And the best recommendation I can give people in terms of a buyers list is never stop building your list. I'm working on my buyers list every single day, trying to attract and add new buyers to our database.
Yep, absolutely. So, Kevin, let's transition and talk about, in your 14 years of being a real estate investor, you've run across good deals and bad deals. What would you say stands out as your best deal ever?
Well, a couple of deals come to mind, Ken. I guess I'll start off talking about my biggest profit deal, which is not a huge deal. I'm sure other people on this call have had bigger profit deals, but for me, it was huge. I actually bought a burnout on the courthouse steps, and as I said earlier, I don't recommend people buy off the courthouse steps because it can be a fairly risky proposition. But this was a property that I had researched prior to the sale, was very familiar with the neighborhood, and I actually picked up this house, which is said had considerable fire damage. I picked it up for $25,000 cash on the steps, and very, very nice, relatively upscale neighborhood in Gwinnett County. It had considerable damage on the lower floor, but the upper floor and the integrity of the house was still good, but basically I had to gut the main level of the house. First of all, I had to go through all the demo. This was a deal that I did have to get permitted because of the significant rehab, and ended up putting about $75,000 in the property. So my cost base was right at $100,000, and I ended up flipping it for $180,000.
Wow.
So was able to put $75,000 in my pocket, and that has been my most profitable rehab retail flips to date.
Sure, that's
solid. But I'll tell you, and I'll go to an entirely different extreme, one of my favorite deals is a house that I actually purchased from another wholesaler, another Atlanta wholesaler. And he had picked up this deal and started marketing it, and I picked it up. I bought it for $17,000. It was a little three-bedroom, two-bath ranch in Lithonia, And the house looked horrible from the outside, but it was primarily because of the yard. It was a vacant house. The wholesaler had picked it up, found it doing the driving for dollars type of method, found the owner, negotiated a great deal. I picked it up for $17,000, ended up putting only $13,000 in the house. So I was all in for $30,000, and I had been renting that house for $750 a month for probably the last 4 years.
Wow.
So my little $30,000 investment's been throwing off $750 a month for the last 3 or 4 years, and I will probably keep it the rest of my life and give it to my kids when I'm done. So that's actually one of my favorite deals, because the $75,000 profit deal, that money's long gone. But the little house that I bought for said $13,000, I've still got that house, and it's still paying me today.
Man, so, that is fantastic.
And I'll tell you the other interesting fact on this house is, when I got the deal from the wholesaler, they were asking $17,000, and I knew, being a wholesaler, that there was a little bit of room in there, but I didn't even try to negotiate, because I knew at $17,000 it was a deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually hoped that wholesaler made a fortune on the little flip to me, and turns out he had picked it up for $7,000.
Wow.
So he made $10,000 on the deal, and quite honestly, I was thrilled for him, because I knew at $17,000 it was one heck of a deal for me. And, you know, sometimes I see buyers, and I know you don't typically do this, but I see some buyers that just try and negotiate every nickel and dime they can get out of a deal. And as I try and tell people, if it's a deal, then move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're satisfied with the numbers, don't worry about whether or not you could have saved an extra $500 or $1,000. And so I always use that as an example. I didn't even negotiate. I grabbed it right away, because I knew somebody else would, and turned out to be a super deal for me.
Wow. Well, you know, that's a great point. And it's funny, an earlier show, I talked about the same thing. In fact, I bought a house from another local wholesaler that you probably know, actually, and he assigned the contract to me. So I saw, you know, what he had it under contract for. And I saw that he was making $24,000 on the deal. And
wow.
I really couldn't believe it, because to me, I was buying it at a good price. And I called him up, and I told him I wanted to pat him on the back, because I thought he was doing a great job making that kind of money. But I did tell him he owed me a steak dinner. But but I did.
That
I
is wanted... great. And, you know, that's what makes you such a good buyer, Ken, is you understand if it's a deal, then no problem if the other person makes a nice profit on it.
Absolutely.
Because you're happy with the end results, and I'm sure you'll do very well with that deal yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about the win-win in this business, because as you and I both know, you bump shoulders with the same people over and over, and you end up doing all kinds of business together. It should
absolutely
be, every transaction should be win-win. Everybody should walk away with the table happy with what they made.
Yes, agreed.
So the other distinction I want to make, I appreciate the fact that you brought up two of your best deals, because you're right, they're on opposite ends of the spectrum. And one of the distinctions I like to make is that when we call it real estate investing, it's actually, and a lot of times, it's the business of being a real estate professional. So in your first example, you went out there to the courthouse steps, you did your research, you bought it, you spent the time to fix it, you sold it, and you made money. And that's not really necessarily investing as much as it is, you know, creating business for yourself as a real estate professional. Where the second example, you bought the property for the long-term hold, and it's spitting off monthly cash flow for you. And in my opinion, that's really what an investor does. A real estate investor buys and holds, and, you know, gets the appreciation and the long-term cash flow from the deal. Both phenomenal
examples. I agree completely. I am a very, very strong supporter of the buy and hold strategy. And yes, somebody that's starting off, they may need to do a few flips to put some money in their pocket, but they're not going to get rich that way. The only way to accumulate wealth is through buying and holding. get to the point where you own a lot of properties free and clear, and then you can kick back and just enjoy that cash flow.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you probably do the same thing I do. I try to do both. You know, every year I want to do so many flips and so many wholesale deals, but at the same time I want to make sure that I'm intentional about buying properties that I'm going to hold for a long period of time, like you said, to build wealth.
Well, and I'll tell you, Ken, as you know, when we went through our very significant downturn, well, across the whole country, but, you know, especially in Atlanta, if it wouldn't have been for my rental properties, I may not have survived. You know, there's a lot of real estate investors that I know that completely went out of business in 07, 08, 09 because the old strategies didn't work any longer. And certainly my income took a hit, but fortunately I had my positive cash flow from my rental properties that continue to pay my bills so that I could keep plugging along in this business.
Wow, that's a great point. Yeah, I mean, when you get the right deals that are spitting off the right cash flow, at some point in time you can potentially live on them, whether it's in retirement or just because the need arises.
Absolutely. Yep.
Kevin, this was a great conversation. Let's tell our audience a little bit about how they can find you.
Well, the easiest place to find me is to go ahead and log on to my website. Easy name to remember, it's www.thischeephouse.com. And on that site, they can see all of my current inventory that I have available, and there's also a link where they can sign up to be on my buyer's list. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share that with people. I said it's easy to remember, thischeephouse.com.
Perfect. And I'll make sure that we have your information up on our show notes as well if you want to download that from our website at dealfarm.net. Kevin, thanks again for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Great. Thanks, Ken.
We'll talk to you soon.
See you soon.
Hey, Deal Farm podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a special offer. In an effort to get our podcast off the ground and as much traction as possible, we have a favor to ask. And in return, we're going to give you a free t-shirt. That's right, a free Deal Farm podcast t-shirt mailed directly to your address. We just ask you to do 5 simple things to help us get this thing off the ground. Number 1, if you would subscribe to us in iTunes. Number 2, if you would like our page in Facebook. Number 3, if you would share our page in Facebook. And number 4, if you would follow us on Twitter. And lastly, number 5, if you would download all of our episodes in iTunes. So initially, we're going to have between 30 to 40 episodes when we launch the podcast. We would just ask that you download all of those episodes through iTunes. So once you do that, just send us an email to offers@dealfarm.net. Give us your name, your address, and your t-shirt size, and we will mail you a free t-shirt. Now, all of that said, we don't necessarily have a way to know if you downloaded all of our episodes, so some of this is on the honor system. We're going to trust that if you say you downloaded all of them, that you actually downloaded all of them. And when you do all 5 of those things, again, real quick, if you would subscribe through iTunes, like our Facebook page, share our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, and download our episodes through iTunes, we will send you a free t-shirt. Thanks so much, and I hope you take advantage of this free offer.